ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं कर्वावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ समस्तजनकल्याणी निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्. So our class every week from way back when is to learn and attempt to do meditation. So we talked about this subject last week. Meditation on what? So the answer generally is meditation on that all-pervading divine entity that is one and yet is known by many names, and also it manifests as the entire universe of things and beings. That is the entity that we want to know about. And so the definition you have already learned in the text called Tattva Bodha. The definition is very distinctly and very comprehensively given. And this exhaustive definition of that all-pervading entity that we sometimes call Atma is indicated by first negating what it is not. When first negating what it is not, and then asserting what it is. So in the last chapter, chapter number 23, this definition was kind of discussed, I'm sure, by Anilji, in at least a roundabout way, because this definition is exactly indicated the way it is in Tattva Bodha. And so what is the definition? In Tattva Bodha, we know everything is question and answer. So the question is, the question was posed, Atma kaha, what is Atma? And the teacher answers that question with a long definition. And the teacher says, Sthula Sukshma Karana Sharirat Vyatiriktaha. One. Panchakoshatitaha. Two. Avasthatraya Sakshi. Three. These are the three negations. To clarify, this is not what it is. And then the assertion comes, Sachidananda Swarupaha. That is the assertion. So the definition reads, Sthula Sukshma Karana Shariraj Vyatiriktaha. That which is other than the gross body, the subtle body, and the causal body. Panchakosha Atitaha, that which is other than the five sheaths, the envelopes. Avasthatraya Sakshi, that which is witness in all three avastha, means all three avastha has a very difficult word and very difficult to translate. It's condition. that which is witness to all three conditions. Which are the three conditions? Three states: waking state, dream state, and deep sleep state. That which is witnessing all these three states, but not any of these three states. So we have covered the three negations. Then the assertion is Satchidananda Swarupaha, Sat, existence, Chit, consciousness, Ananda, bliss. So that which is of the form of existence, consciousness, bliss is Atma. And so, because we are in meditation class, this is what we want to meditate on. And therefore, before we do this, in chapter 23, these three different negations are very well discussed. And I'm pretty sure that Anilji has, in one form or the other, gone over that with you. So I'm just going to quickly revise that with you. So the first negation is sthula, sukshma, karana, sharirat, vyatiriktaha, that which is other than these three. So what it is not the gross body. Not the gross body. Because if it was gross body, it wouldn't age, it wouldn't get old, it would not get sick, and it will stay eternal. But we know that is not the case, unfortunately. There is a meeting going on just about the same subject. Somebody mm-hmm. has passed away and they are
in there by accident.
Yeah, they are conducting the memorial service. Yes. So you know that body is not it. Right. And then we also know that that body in itself, sthula sharira, gross body, is not able to do anything by itself. Something else invigorates it, energizes it, enlivens it, experiences what the gross body does in the interactions with the world. Because the gross body itself has no capacity to experience anything. So who experiences? So we say, sukshma sharira, the subtle body. So what is subtle body? Subtle body, in a simple way, that which operates gross body. That's one way of looking at it. Subtle body is that which operates the gross body. Let's look into it a little more detail. So that subtle body also has another name called Antahkarana. Antah means inner. Karana means equipment. Antahkarana, the inner equipment. And it's fourfold. There are four aspects to that inner equipment. What is it? Mind. The emotional oscillating aspect. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I eat this? Should I not eat this? That's all. That which cannot make decisions and always confused is the emotional aspect of life as we experience it. It's called mind. But thanks to another aspect of it, which helps the mind, it is called the intellect, buddhi. The intellect is the seat of decision making. The intellect makes the decision. In most cases, it should. In our case, of course, it's very, very different. We always allow the mind to run away with the decision, and therefore all the sorrows of life. Because we never allow our intellect to make that decision and tell the mind, hey, this is how it's going to be. It doesn't happen in most of our cases. That's why we experience all kinds of problems. I'm severely diabetic, but I can't help it. I have to eat sugar. And so when I do that, naturally, there are major problems. And others have to suffer because I did not allow the intellect to make the decision. So this subtle body, as we know, the subtle body, the four aspects of subtle body, the first is mind, second is intellect. The intellect actually falls back on what is known as memory. Chitta, that's the third aspect, chitta. The process happens so fast that it appears instantaneous to us. But it goes through this routine, every decision, every experience that you have with the world outside goes through this. So chitta, the memory, what memory? All the past experiences that we have had in this world as well as many, 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 many past. So that memory is already stored there. So every time a decision-making process, every time a decision is to be made, the buddhi, the intellect, falls on the memory. It says, okay, what should I do? What kind of experiences did I have? It digs into the past, finds out that doing this will create a problem. If it finds out, if the intellect finds out in the memory that actually doing this action will create a problem, then it decides, no, we will not do it. If it finds, oh yeah, yeah, it's fun to do it, like taking a vacation, then it says, yeah, let's take a vacation. So that chitta, the memory aspect of this inner equipment, provides assistance to the intellect in making that decision as to what to do in any given circumstance. And then the fourth aspect is ego. We all have that. You're a very close friend, and one day you are going somewhere and you see the close friend and it looks at you and turns the face away. And God, your ego gets hurt so bad. Oh, I have done so much for this person. Didn't even look at me today, I tell you. She's turned away from me. Jeez, I was so hurt. Who is hurt? The ego is hurt. Who is this ego? I do this. That I and the sense of doership is the ego. I do this, I enjoy this, I own this. These three aspects, sense of doership, sense of enjoyership, sense of ownership, that's ego. So after the intellect makes the decision, ego says, okay, we'll do it. As if he is the doer, and he instructs the intellect, to instruct the mind, to instruct the organs of action to take the action. So that is how the process works. From the organs of perception, the stimuli from the world are taken in and they become one and go to the mind. And mind in the ideal situation is supposed to be a receiving and shipping clerk. It doesn't do anything. It receives, it ships. it receives, it shifts in both directions. So in ideal condition, the mind, when it receives the stimuli, automatically passes on to intellect and says, please tell me what to do. And then intellect looks into the memory and the ego says, okay, this is what we'll do in this situation. Then it comes back through intellect to the mind, to the organs of action. This is the cycle when you do the decision making in the right way. If you allow the mind to run away with the decision, then it's called reaction. If you allow the mind and intellect and memory and ego to participate and make the decision, it's called response. It's your choice. You want to react? It's your choice. You want to respond? Your choice. Choice in what sense? Because whether you react or respond, there will be a result of that. And that's what you're going to experience, good, bad, or otherwise. So always good to respond rather than react. So that is what the subtle body does. The causal body. There are so many things to do in this world, enjoy, and you know, and we hardly can get done at 1% of it, if at all. So you do have those desires that are unfulfilled. And therefore, to fulfill those unfulfilled desires, vasanas, as it is called in technical terms, to fulfill those unfulfilled desires that are still in the mind and intellect, the causal body, causes. The very name is very indicative. Causal, that which causes something. So the causal body causes the subtle body to take another birth when this body's work is done. This physical body is here to go through certain set of experiences based on our past karmas, past actions. And when those are done, this body drops. That's why we have this grief when somebody dies young. We say, why? Why did you do that? Because we don't understand. That body's work was done.
What about animals too?
Animals is a different thing. There are two categories of life. One is called karma phala bhoga yoni. That's this category in which all the animals fall, even the little bugs. Karma phala, result of actions. Bhoga, experience. Yoni, birth. Those births that are taken only to experience the results of the past actions without incurring more desires are called karma phala bhoga yoni. The human life is in totally different category. It is called karma phala kshaya yoni. Because those that are in karma phala bhoga yoni have to take another birth. There's no choice. That's it. But those of us, the humans, that are born in this body as humans, ours is a choice. As karma phala kshaya ayoni, as because we are born as human beings, we have the choice. Either we can exhaust all the results of our karmas, in which case there is no other birth. more. We keep incurring more and more, keep collecting, making the bundle bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and heavier and heavier and heavier. You have to come back. No choice. So in human life, you have the choice. In the animal life, you don't have that choice. Because you don't incur any more either in animal life. You come, you experience whatever you're supposed to experience, whether you have 1 day of existence, 4 hours of existence, 100 years of existence, like peacock. Peacock is supposed
to, yes.
They are good for 100 years. In the
tortoises too, are they?
Tortoises, they live 200 years.
Really?
Yes. Look at these trees, redwood trees. They're 300, 400, 500 years old. They have seen so much of us goofing off. If they had speech, they would start laughing at us. What kind of idiots are these guys? You know? So, yes, there's long life. Long, long life. Parrots are supposed to live 60, 70, 80 years. So.
Peacock, the top one.
Yes. Peacock, parrot. So, the point is what? You have a long life. But that's not necessarily true that every peacock will live 100 years. Whoever is born as the peacock to experience the unfulfilled desires, when that is finished, that little life goes. And that is that misunderstanding or that lack of understanding of that process is what causes grief into us. When we see a mortal body, or when we see XYZ very dear to us pass away, causes grief because of this lack of understanding that who dies? That is what the reason to meditate is. The reason to meditate for all of us is that to understand, comprehend, and work it into your daily life. That, as Gurudev would say, Swamiji, he said, it's a, everybody dies. Now remember, what does he say? Everybody. Then immediately he says, nobody dies.
I just, you know, when people suddenly, like this friend of mine who's 55, really nice, and I call him up, oh, he's dead, you know. And then I recently had a cat, a stray, come my way, and I started to fall for it. Oops, he's dead, he just got hit by a car. So these two things just happened within the last 6 months.
And it's very traumatic.
It's
very, very traumatic. Even for those who understand this philosophy, even for those, it's very, very hard. But the good thing about understanding and comprehending this philosophy is, because grieving is natural, okay? Please understand that. Grieving for someone is natural. It is not unnatural. You must grieve. Because your grieving helps others. But that should not be in excessive amount. Because you know what exactly happened.
Just shocks,
yes.
Like that.
Like, and that
thank
happened.
God I was on good terms with, you know. I don't have any guilty, nothing over, you know, over.
We had a friend who was dancing with his daughter, father-daughter dance in the marriage. Daughter was doctor, son-in-law was doctor, son was doctor. He's dancing with his daughter. He fell, passed away, just like that. Just like that. Within like a fraction of a second, the doctors came, they said, he was dead before he hit the ground. You think of that. So when things like this happen that, like you said, are very shocking, this understanding, this comprehension comes very handy in managing that. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so grief is natural. And when somebody passes away, you don't want to go there and say, oh, well, everybody dies, nobody dies. Oh, there's Atman, this is Jiva. You wouldn't want to say that. Mm-hmm. You want to share the grief mm-hmm. of that person. Because that's the right thing to do. Why? Remember, this also we have learned. You are playing a role. As an actor in this world, you are playing a role. And you must play your role with a gusto. You understand? All the time knowing this is not what you are. But you still have to play the role. But that's what he has given for you to fulfill. You see? And that is the reason. That is the reason why you come to this class.
It does help.
It's an enormous...
enormous help. When I lost my brother, and I knew he was gone, and they would not let him go. They put him on a ventilator for 10 days. But the moment I saw him, I looked at him, and I just, you know, said to my to him, like, you know, the hearing is the last to go. So I said to him, don't worry about anything. Everything is going to be fine. I want you to just have it, enjoy yourself.
Because anything that is born.
Yeah, and my sister-in-law was absolutely saying, what are you saying? What are you rubbish talking about? Why? And, you know, and of course, I had tears in my eyes, and I just say, I will do whatever I can for your family.
Oh, but of course.
They thought I have given up, and I just say,
No.
You think is the best, but as my brother is concerned. Yeah.
What you have done, or what you did, is you have reconciled yourself because of this understanding.
Yes, here. That's what I will learn.
Exactly. And this is the point that we make time and time again,
yes,
that this philosophy needs to be worked into your interaction with the world day to day. Otherwise, why are you coming here? What is the point? Why waste time? Why do the recording? Why pass on the CDs? What is the point? The point is only this. This needs to be worked into our interactions with the world day to day. Yes, be loving. Be affectionate. Don't get attached. This attachment to what?
But why can't we connect to the other side?
Or
see them?
There is no other side. What other side?
I don't know.
That is not the side.
Why are we not even mystic? She wants to be that mystic. We're eternal. Though. They're eternal. Why do we feel such a?
You are eternal.
But how come I feel disconnected from that? I mean,
Your connection still is. Your mind is so strong, it believes that this is the connection, and it is not. That's the beauty of it. This is only physical connection. There is no other connection. Connection with
what?
Here, look at me, all of you, and tell me connection with what? There is nothing other.
How can I?
There is nothing other.
Why don't I feel like I'm my astral causal body? Why don't I? If I could feel that way, it just get out of this.
Now you have to continuously. See, this is why again we come here for meditation. Uh-huh. This is the truth that we meditate on. And take it home. It's not necessary.
We are all one.
So if I can feel that more, connection to what I really am.
And that is why you meditate.
Yeah, that would be
That's why you meditate.
You're working on it and feel one with the whole thing.
It takes long hours, days, months, years, and births. And then His grace comes and you become liberated. You become liberated. And that's the beauty. That's why we come here. So that this truth, truth is very simple. You are the all-pervading reality that appears as many. That is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Why are there so many books that tell you the same thing in a different language time and time and time and time again and again and again and again? Why? Because it's hammering.
Okay.
The same truth is being hammered on us so that it gets in there and stays there. Because our mind doesn't want to know. The biggest trick is to destroy the mind. How can you destroy the mind? You cannot destroy the mind. You need the mind, right? But when you say destroy the mind, means what? Destroy all the negativities. When the mind is 100% positive, it's fully quiet and peaceful.
Then I can connect to
because why is mind agitated? We learned all this. Why is mind agitated? Because me and mine, you and yours. We want to keep what is mine. We want to have what's others. Our whole life is full of that, isn't it? Day in and day out, that's all we do. Because we have this funny idea that she's different than me. She's not. She's a wave. He's a wave. You are a wave. I'm a wave. Can the waves be different and distinct from the ocean?
No, we're all connected.
Not connected. You are ocean. There is no connection as such in terms of something.
Yeah, private. No, I just feel so.
What I'm saying.
I feel like I need to have that, and I get kind of angry within myself that I don't have that.
No.
Expectation.
The fact. Now listen to this very carefully. The fact that you get angry is a good sign. That means that you are not willing to accept what appears to be reality, which it is not. And therefore, you are now willing to work on finding out what is the truth. Getting angry has meaning. What did we learn in Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter and second chapter, most of it? Arjuna, the disciple, complains and argues with the Lord. I mean, vociferously he argues. He argues vehemently with the Lord. And the Lord is standing there smirking, doesn't say a word. But at the end of all the arguments, what does Arjuna say? I surrender to you. You teach me what is the truth. That's what we ought to do. We need to surrender to His grace. So getting angry means you are ready to surrender. So it's a good sign.
I'm ready to know.
Good sign.
To know.
Work on it. And don't be anxious that I won't get it next year, 10 years later, next birth. Don't worry. That's not your call. Yours is to work on it. When you'll get it, that's His call.
That's
okay. Before we go on, I'll tell you one story which indicates how beautiful this truth is. So the story is, and you have heard this. I've shared this story before, and maybe you have heard it. So Narada, the great sage who had access to all 14 worlds, is heading to see Lord Vishnu in heaven. He's going through the earth, singing the glory of the Lord, Narayana, Narayana. Then he runs into an old ascetic that is sitting in the meditative pose. Very old, very dilapidated body. And you know, these sages have powers because they have done such austerity that gives them a lot of power. And they can order even the Lord. So he sees Narada and says, come here. What? Where are you going? I'm going to go see the Lord in the heaven. You do one thing for me, says one. You ask your Lord that I've been sitting here meditating and taking His name all my life, working so hard at it. When am I going to be liberated? Ask Him. Narada says, okay, I will definitely ask Him, and on my return, I'll definitely give you His reply. But that's all I can do. He says, okay. Narada went a little further. He saw this young sage, sadhu, dancing under a tree, singing the Lord's glory. So Narada was curious. He said, maybe he also has a question. Who knows? So he went to the young man and says, "Sir, I'm going to see the Lord in heaven. Do you have any questions of him?" He says, No, I have no questions. I'm very happy. Please tell him I said Namaskar. That's about it. No question. You sure? He says, Yeah. No question. I have no question of the Lord. What do I? I have no question. So Narada man saw the Lord, came back, and on his way back again he ran into his old sage, very, very furious and very anxious. When Narada would come, Narada says, "Sir, I saw the Lord and asked your question to him, and he has an answer for you." Yes. Tell me, what is the answer? "Sir, the Lord has said that you have 3 more births before you can be liberated." Oh, this sage went into such tantrums. He says, "All this work for nothing? He doesn't understand what I have done. He has no comprehension of what I am. How can he say that? 3 more births?" So he was just ranting and ranting, and then Narada said, "Okay, I have to go." Narada went and again saw the same young fellow dancing under the tree. Narada went to him and says, "Sir, I know you did not have any question, but the old sage had the question, and I asked the Lord the same question on your behalf." So he says, "What was the question?" Narada says, "The question was, how long before you get liberated?" So the young man says, "The Lord actually had time to answer that?" "Yes. In my case, yes." "You want to hear the answer?" "Yeah, if you want to tell me the answer, it's fine." Narada says, "The Lord said that you have as many more births as there are leaves on this tree." And the young saint got so excited. He says, "Wow, now there is a finite number." And the story goes that he was immediately liberated. See, it's a matter of attitude.
Oh, interesting.
It's a matter of attitude. You're not bargaining with the Lord. Oh. He's not a person to bargain with. "Okay, I give you 2 cows and you give me 1 buffalo or whatever." He does not bargain. He only gives us the results of our action. He has nothing to do with anything else. And so see this beautiful story. It explains that you must consistently, constantly, intensely, for a long, long, long time, sit in this meditative state and worship him. Now that raises another question. How can I sit in meditation 24 hours a day? I don't have work to do. Of course you have work to do. Of course you have a family. Of course you have other things to do. But while doing all that, his name should be in your mind constantly. That is the beauty. That's the beauty. So, because you, your mind, if not properly trained, which is what we are going through, if the mind is not properly trained, it will only do and hear what it wants to. There's another story, I must share this before we do short meditation. The story is 2 friends are walking into a Sunday bazaar, and the bazaar being Sunday is so busy, there's so much noise, so much there's so much of ruckus there that you can't even hear each other if you're talking a normal voice. Then one of these 2 friends says to the other, "Do you hear those bells that are ringing in the temple up on the hill. And the other guy says, are you kidding? In this noise? Temple bells? You must be kidding. How can you hear anything like that in this kind of noise? So the other friend says, okay, I'll show you. You only hear what you want to hear. So the friend says, okay, show me. So the guy takes out a big coin from his pocket. He flips it. The coin falls on the ground, makes noise. 15 people turn around and says, is that your money? Why? Because we are attuned to that. We are not attuned to. That's why Gurudev says, mind cannot be 100% detached. And so, when you detach the mind from the lower tendencies, negative tendencies, it has to be immediately attached to the higher. Otherwise, you'll again start wandering. That's his nature. Mind's nature is to wander. That's why you blink the eye and my mind is already in India, enjoying the good food of Diwali. Anarse, Amma, Anarsa. The sweet dish of Maharashtra. I think my mouth is already watering. See how quickly the mind runs? And that mind, that wandering mind, has to be reined in. And that's another aspect of what to do to rein in the mind is discussed in chapter 23 under Fundamentals of Vedanta, Japa Yoga is explained there. So the thought is, how do you control the mind, bring it into full control? First, from action to yoga of action. Karma to karma yoga, we talked about this last time. From devotion to yoga of devotion. When these two are practiced, and even though we discuss them as a separate activity, they both go together. One without the other doesn't work. When these two are practiced diligently in our interactions with the world of things and beings, three things happen. Right now our mind is going in 15 different directions. Karma Yoga slows it down and makes the flow unidirectional. Because when you do Karma Yoga, all your actions are dedicated at the feet of the Lord. So now all your thoughts are unidirectional. Devotion, when you practice the yoga of devotion, you see the Lord in everyone. And therefore there are no likes and dislikes. Now Lord is in everyone. So the quality of thoughts has gone up. First, reduction in quantity of thoughts. Second, increase in quality of thoughts. And you know that the quality of thoughts, there are only few qualitative thoughts. So when you are at the level of qualitative thoughts, there are very, very few thoughts in your mind. Because mind is being reined in. When that happens, the mind becomes peaceful. When the mind becomes peaceful, this knowledge that's available out there, it settles in our mind and becomes our own. And that is, last time as we say, that is the purpose of meditation. Once you have done yoga of action, once you have mastered the yoga of devotion, now you are sitting down with pure, quietened mind and pure discriminating intellect in that set of circumstances when you sit down to meditate, now the light is ready to shine. And that is the meditation that we do, day in and day out, and day in and day out. Just as the guy who could only hear the noise versus the other guy who actually could hear the bells of the temple. Where is your mind connected? Up there or here?
What if you think, well, maybe if I had this job over here, maybe that would raise my consciousness, or maybe if I moved over, you know, relocated over here, that'll be a better environment to keep my consciousness going up. How do you know if you should be making those kinds of major decisions with job changes and moves to, you know, if you're, you know?
Who needs the change?
Like
it
myself.
No. Who needs the change? Not your mind.
Oh.
Not your intellect. Not your ego. They're asking for it, yes. You don't need a change. You can work anywhere. The game has to be played. I'm telling you, this is a complicated situation, because while you're playing the game of being Miss So and So, constantly and consistently at all times, remember, you are not that Miss So and So. But because you have been given this conditioned existence as part of the game playing by the Lord, His Leela, you play the role. Nothing, you moving from here to there, is not going to make you happier. What's going to make you happier is you. The outside world can never make you happier or sorrowful. So anything that you create, only you can eliminate that. All the stress, if I go there, there'll be better working condition. Who created that stress? We did. Who is going to be able to eliminate? Only us. Nobody else. So, be relaxed, be peaceful with yourself. First, be peaceful with yourself. Forgive yourself, first thing. Forgive yourself. Because half of our anxiety comes from what we couldn't do in past. Oh, I wish I had done it like this, then it would have been that. And that just keeps going on. And it bothers so much that we lose sleep over. No, that's done and gone.
Yeah.
You can't do anything about it. Give it up. None of your business. Okay, what can I do now so that 15 years later I'll be happier? Anxiety of the future. Don't tackle them. You don't know what's in the future. We just talked about that. The guy was dancing with his own daughter. Father-daughter dance, and he dropped like in a second. So where is the future? Who knows what the future is? Nobody knows. Not that you don't work on it, but the anxiety should not come. Because everything you do is dedicated to the Lord. All the anxiety comes from the sense of doership. I did it and therefore it happened like this. But then you also did it and it didn't happen like that. And therefore the grief, you see. So give up the sense of doership. Everything you do, do it with pleasant thought, happy mind, and offer it to the Lord. Let Him decide what the results are going to be. It's none of your business.
Yeah, if He wants, leads me over to a new job or a new place.
That He
then,
will.
Then it would be.
Yes. Your duty is to work diligently, efficiently, in a happy state of mind with whatever you're doing today. That is demanded of you by the Lord. And that's why in the colloquial language we say the Lord helps those who help themselves. Right? This is exactly what it is. You know, this truth, like I said before, is expressed in so many different ways, in so many different levels, so that we understand. The sages are so kind and so loving and so forgiving. In any culture, this is what they'll teach. Okay, so be happy. Be happy, relax. Nothing is.
Will create more stress on you. Right. Yeah, by moving and so exactly. Wherever you are, yeah, let it go. Just be, enjoy it with peaceful mind. Yeah,
so this is the purpose of meditation, and therefore, when you sit for actual meditation at home, make sure that you dedicate that time. Be it 2 minutes, be it 5 minutes, be it 10 minutes, whatever. Make sure you dedicate that time 100% to yourself. Nothing else. The mind will play trick. It will run all around. Bring it in time and time again. You smell coffee, not allowed. Feel hungry, not allowed. I'll go someplace, not allowed. 5 minutes, 2 minutes. If you can meditate for 2 minutes without any extraneous thoughts, you have achieved something phenomenal. So with that, we are going to do about 5 minutes silent meditation. Okay. Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Sarve Vadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om Sadguru Nath Maharaj.